It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. We are delighted that you are joining us today. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple ways to get in touch with us. You can always tweet at us, at Jill on Money. Mark is always keeping an eye out on the Twitter feed. By the way, when I was sick and I didn't go look at social media for essentially a week, it's kind of nice. It was pretty awesome. Sorry. Just have to say. You can also send us an email, askjill at jillonmoney.com. And there is always the good old telephone, 855-411-JILL, 855-411-JILL. If you haven't done so, check out our new podcast. It's not even new anymore. It's called Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you get your favorite podcast. We always like to start the show with a call. So we're going to Ed from California. Hi, Ed. Welcome to Jill on Money. What can I do for you?
Hi, Jill. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
So I recently found your show through my Betterment research, and I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So I'm looking to find a wealth advisor for my family, but I can't really seem to trust anyone. So
That's probably very valuable. That instinct is a good one, I think.
I know conventional wisdom says, you know, once you cross a couple $1 million in assets, you should look for outside help. But the thing is that most of the advisors that I've spoken to won't really advocate for a robo-advisor strategy because it seems like they want to manage the assets for themselves so that they can collect management fees.
Right.
You know, Betterment has their advisor network, but they seem to charge anywhere between 50 bips to 1% just to kind of look over my accounts.
Mm.
And I really am curious, you know, what kind of advice would they be giving me? Would that actually merit that type of cost? And if not, you know, how do I go about finding the right advisor that makes sense for me from a philosophy perspective, which, you know, I strongly believe in passive investing, mm-hmm. as well as the fee perspective? You know, is there someone that I should be paying hourly instead of on a active management fee basis, or, you know, how do I really think about that?
You know, there are essentially, you know, sort of big picture, three different types of advisors out there, right? So there is the traditional asset manager who's going to charge you, again, like the 50 basis points to 1%. I would, by the way, on, you know, I don't know, what's your total asset level?
It's somewhere between 5 to 10 million.
You know, on that level of money, you're definitely not going to pay 1%. You're going to pay less than that. So you get, you know, an asset manager, assets under management. And, you know, I don't think I would actually have an asset manager pay that money to an asset manager for a second look. I would pay that manager to actively manage my assets and to give me ongoing financial advice. Because the theory being is that not so much that when you cross a couple $1 million that you should have someone else do it. It's just that your life could be more complicated and you might need more comprehensive financial planning in addition to your investing advice. And in many cases, you don't get the comprehensive planning unless you give them the assets. But that's in that model, okay? Then there's the commission base, which you're not going to do. But the third model would be something that you're talking about, which would be something called fee only. And in that case, you could either pay a fixed fee and say, all right, I've got $7 million. I want to pay you $10,000 to go through my current asset level, give me a comprehensive retirement plan, look at how my insurance, you know, like just a literally like a one-time fee, okay? That to me could be a very interesting idea for someone like you. It sounds like you like managing your money. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's not bad, right? And you're doing fine, right? Like it's not like you're not like struggling and saying, oh my God, this is the worst horrible process. It drives me crazy emotionally.
No, not at all.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 28.
You're 28 and you got $5 to $10 million. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you right now. I just want to tell you that.
I'm managing my family as well. So
because I'm about to dump my significant other for you, Ed, right now. So do you feel like beyond asset management, what are the other things you think you want out of a relationship with a wealth advisor?
So, I mean, I'll be frank. I don't think I know the personal finance space super well. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to things like tax advisory or estate planning or even asset allocation, mm-hmm. I have, you know, outstanding questions and I would often defer to someone that I believe has more knowledge to me around these spaces.
You know, I think that in your case, there's two different ideas that I have for you. First of all, there are plenty of asset under management in managers who incorporate either robo, like, you know, they may even be on the Betterment platform, okay? Or they actually use low-cost index funds or exchange-traded funds for their larger clients. And so they are absolutely buying into your general passive investment management philosophy. So a lot of people, in fact, I would say the vast majority of people who are managing money in the $5 to $10 million range are doing that, just that. They're not going out and like saying, oh, I'm going to be a stock picker for you, right? The other part of it is that I would think that for you, in talking about, you know, sort of these larger tax, estate, asset allocation, even maybe gifting issues or the way that you manage property in your family, this might be an area where you could get a ton of value. So what I would be looking for is probably someone who is a CFP, so Certified Financial Planner, there are CPAs who have a designation that's called PFS, Personal Financial Specialist. And I think that these types of folks are very focused on holistic advisory issues. And you can ask them, and it really depends on what, you know, kind of how you feel. You might be able to find that at the end of the day, hiring one of these people at that level will be exactly the same amount of money as having, you know, $5 to $10 million at Betterment at 25 basis points a year. So what I'd like you to do is just hang on the line. I'm going to get your email address from Mark, and I'm going to send you a couple of names of people that might be able to help you out. And that's terrific. So thank you so much for calling, Ed, and we'll get your number. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Friday night, I crashed
your party. Saturday, you're back with Jill on Money. Mark, have you ever played that before for me? It's been a long time since you played that. Old Billy Joel. Not really old Billy Joel. Like middle-aged Billy Joel, but this is a song that we definitely danced around and played our tennis rackets, air guitar on the tennis courts when I was at camp. I love Billy Joel. I just don't like the one that you play sometimes. That one. That very bad period of his life. An even worse period for his now ex-wife's life. Just saying. Okay. I love Billy Joel. But, you know, I kind of max. This is like it. This album. And it may not even be this album. It really may be like the album before. Glass. Is this Glass Houses? Where's this from? Go look that up while I do this phone call, will you? If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Aaron is on the line from Kentucky. Hello, Aaron. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering your opinion on my shot at retirement, actually.
I promise you that you have a shot at it. You have a shot.
Yeah, so I'm a late bloomer. I'm 36.
Okay.
Now got a job that actually contributes to the 401k before. I've either wasn't at a position long enough or the job didn't actually do it. They put in 5%, and I'm currently putting in 5%. I have about $2,000 in there now, and then I have a Roth IRA that has about $3,000 in it, and that's about all I have as far as retirement savings go. I make about $60,000 a year, mm-hmm. and so I was kind of wondering, you know, there's not much wiggle room into it currently in my current position, my job. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, I like it. I see myself staying in there for, you know, 10, 15 years. So as far as increasing salary, it's not going to be an exponential increase. So I'm kind of am where I am. So I was wondering if you had any sort of like game plan into how to best invest or save for retirement.
So tell me, you said you're pretty tight. You're putting 5% into your retirement account. The employer contributes another 5%. What else are you doing? You said you have a Roth IRA. So are you doing the 5% to your retirement account through the employer and also a Roth IRA, or is that from a previous employer?
It was rolled over from a previous employer. I'm contributing about $50 a month, you know, as much as I can. I'm not even able to max it out currently on my current budget.
Okay. What else are you saving? You have like some money that's in a boring savings account, something like an emergency reserve fund?
Yeah, there's only about $1,000 there. So really, I'm just recently gone through a divorce, so that kind of wiped everything out. So I'm really am sort of starting over from scratch.
Okay, all right. Well, first of all, you're young, so that's great. Okay, that's the most important thing. So I think that what I would tell you is this. The $50 a month that's going into your Roth IRA right now, I would direct that into my emergency reserve. I would put that away. I would put that into your safety net before I put it into the Roth. How much is in the Roth total, did you say? A couple thousand?
$3,000. Yeah.
$3,000. Okay. Do you have any debt that's outstanding?
Yeah, I currently have $3,000 in credit card. I recently had to purchase a car, which is about $10,000. And those are my two major debts.
What's the interest rate on the car loan?
4%.
4%? That's not bad. Okay. And what about where do you live? How much you have the mortgage? You have rent? What's going on?
Yeah. Mortgage is $1,300 a month.
How much is the house worth?
$220.
How much is the mortgage outstanding, the balance outstanding for that house?
Oh, so it was recently purchased. So I've only lived there a year.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
So whatever, it's what'd you put down?
Yeah.
20% down?
Yeah. I put 10% down. So yeah, the loan itself was $199,000. So
Okay. Here's what I would suggest to you. You have two other priorities before you get completely wigged out about retirement. Okay? And they're going to get done because I know that, listen, anyone who's gone through a divorce knows it's just expensive. I don't care which side of this you fall down on. That, you know, two households are more expensive than one household. And it's
right.
Nasty, okay? So the first priority for you is to do that $50 a month that you have that's kind of flowing into the Roth. Stop putting it into the Roth and either put it on the $50 extra on your credit card or put $50 into your emergency reserve fund. Either one. I almost don't care. But you need to get a nice 6 month. You really want $5,000 in your emergency reserve fund. That's what you're hoping for. And you need to pay off the credit card bill. Are you expecting maybe a tax refund potentially?
No, because I had kids and I ended up owing because of
Okay, got it.
When we got divorced and all that. Yeah.
And what about with the kids, do you have money that's are you putting some money away for them as well?
Yeah, I've set up betterment accounts for them, so I'm investing $50 a month for each of them.
Okay, I'm sorry to tell you, I have to screw your kids. I'm so sorry. Don't get mad at me. Here's what you're going to do. So you have $50 a month that's going towards your Roth IRA, you're going to divert $50 a month and you're going to put it into your emergency reserve. And the $50 a month that's going for your kids is going to go down towards, is going to pay down your credit card bill. And as you make a little bit more money, if you find a little more wiggle room, you're going to accelerate both of those. But you're going to split any cash flow that you have that is available, anything. You're going to split it between paying down the credit card and building up your emergency reserve fund. Keep putting the 5% into your current plan, okay? But beyond anything else that you really have to be clear about is that any excess dollars from cash flow must go towards paying down the credit card debt and then towards building up your emergency reserve fund. I kind of want you to do both at the same time. That's why I'm saying split the $250 a month automatic deposits right now, split those into those accounts. Once you're done with those two things, once the credit card bill is paid off and your emergency reserve fund is $5,000, then whatever excess cash flow you have, you can go and put that all of that into your Roth IRA. That's fine. But until you get those two pieces settled, I think that you're going to have to just be very diligent and you're going to be okay. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, are you going to have a shot at retirement? Yes, but we have to take smaller steps before we get to that. So your small step today is get rid of the credit card, build up the emergency reserve fund, max out my retirement as my cash flow increases. It's all right. You're going to get there. You're young. Thank God for youth. It's a good thing. Aaron from Kentucky, thanks so much for calling. If you've got a financial question, we would love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. And you also can email us, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And, you know, listen, these questions that are kind of the, can I do this? You know, I hate to say you can or you cannot do these things. These pieces of your financial life, they're all interwoven. Nothing is in isolation. That's why it's best to call in. It's best to let us know what's really going on. And it's really good for you to get a second set of eyes and ears on your financial situation. Even, by the way, if it means that you're going to hear something that may be tough to hear. But again, if you step on a scale and someone says, well, you have to lose 50 pounds, that's so daunting. But if someone says, here's what the first thing you're going to do is you're going to stop drinking booze from Monday to Friday. That's what Mark did. That was his key to success. He stopped drinking during the week and he lost weight. But you notice how that's like a very different objective than I'm going to lose 50 pounds, which sounds so daunting. How do I retire by age 65? Oh, you have to have X dollars put away right this second. No, let's do it pieces, little achievable pieces. Okay. And then I think it's a lot easier when you do it that way. Okay. Very excited to hear from you when you do. 855-411-JILL. Send us emails. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. Follow us on Twitter @JillOnMoney. And don't forget to check out our podcast, Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. We'll be right back. Someone to satisfy you.
Have a question? Call anytime, 24-7, 855-411-JILL. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. That is the boss. Why don't you become a good producer, Mark, and try to get the boss after he wrote his book? He was on everyone else's show, not on our show. All right, I'm joking. What's your favorite Bruce Springsteen song, Mark? This is it? He likes Thunder Road. He likes this. I like this. Yeah, this is pretty good. I like that one too. I was always a Rosalita kind of fan, but I'm more in my youth. It's evocative of a time, not of where I am today. You've gone back and listened to Nebraska now, and I like it so much more now than I did when it first came out. You were a child at that time. Okay, if you've got a financial question or you would like to weigh in your favorite Bruce Springsteen song, 855-411-JILL, or send us an email. The email address here, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Okay, let's do an email here. This is from Jonathan, who's 35. He's married. He's got two kids, student loans, a mortgage, and he says, I gotta focus my money towards a single goal or two. I have money going into my retirement account, my wife's retirement account, an investment account for rainy day savings, an investment account for new car savings, and towards all my bills. My goals are to pay off all my debt, have savings, max out retirement, save for my kids to gotta go to school. Oh my God, it's like a lot. All right, so let's hear these details. Income, 180 grand combined. Mortgage, 386 grand. I don't know how much the house is worth. But this is a very nice rate, 3.625%. Okay, retirement, thrift savings plan, 266 grand. It's about 15 grand a year. Gets the employer match. Wife's retirement, 41 grand, money going in. Okay, there are two student loans. One has a balance of $48,000. It's a 4% loan. The other one is a balance of about 8 grand, and it's 1.625%. So let us not get crazy with that, right? No car loans. He's got about 8 grand that's in a rainy day fund, trying to get it to 40. College, two college plans, 9,500, 5,000, and some money in the new car fund. Okay, Jonathan, you ready? Here's what's going to happen now. Let's get you focused. Both of you, think about this. You have three priorities. I'm going to leave one off. I'm going to tell you right now, we're leaving your kids' college off. So the first priority is you've got to have an emergency reserve fund. I'm not sure exactly why you're trying to get it to 40 grand, because that seems like that seems like a lot, but maybe you need it. I don't know what 6 to 12 months of your living expenses is, but whatever that is, that's your rainy day fund. That's important. You're not going to accelerate your student loans. I mean, I guess you could accelerate a little bit on student loan number one with a 4% fixed rate, because you're getting a 4% fixed rate, you know, and you can't get 4% anywhere else. But you do the rainy day fund, you click away at your I'm just trying looking at this for a second. It's funny. I'm trying to decide whether I really want you to try to accelerate the student loan or not. I think that for now, we're going to keep it as is. Because I think here's the priority. The priority is keep making your payments on the loans. Keep putting money into your rainy day fund. Continue to put money into retirement. Stop putting money in for college, unless it's just birthday or your holiday gifts. And perhaps what you may want to do is on the new car, I think that essentially just keep that going. But that's pretty much it. If you feel like you're tight at the end of each week, month, then the only other thing I could say is maybe a tiny bit, if you wanted to, just pull back a little bit on some of the retirement. And you would have to look at which of your plans is better. Maybe it's your wife's plan that's not quite as good. But if you're feeling tight, I think the only thing to remember is that you don't have a lot of flexibility here. But I wouldn't worry about college. Leave that alone. Maybe pull back on retirement a little bit just to get the emergency reserve fund up and maybe to help you build up that new car fund. That's it. You're in good shape, actually. And it's funny that you feel a little, it sounds like you feel overwhelmed. I don't think that you should worry too much. You're doing what you should be doing. Sometimes you have to, in the financial planning world, do a lot of things at once. And this may be one of those cases, and it might not feel particularly comfortable to you, but I think you're kind of on the right track. Obviously, he doesn't have to pay. Mark wants to know when he pays attention to college. I think you don't pay attention to college pretty much ever. No, I'm just kidding. You don't pay attention to college till you have probably that student loan debt paid off. That's my guess. But I don't think you should worry. I think you should really kind of take it easy and cut yourself some slack. It's going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. All right. Too often, I think that we get a little bit nutty on trying to get that college plan going. And it's not only is it expensive, but it's really not the best use of your worry. I mean, the big worry to me has always got to be retirement. So if you have a retirement plan and it's working and life is good and that's clicking along and you whittle down your debt and that starts to feel more comfortable, then you can look at college and start attacking that. By the way, at $180,000 a year, there shouldn't be a ton left over based on everything you've got going on. So don't go nutty. All right. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65, Jill Schlesinger is here to help you. Back to Jill on Money.
Go away from my window. Leave that.
You're back with Jill on Money. Our phone number is 855-411-JILL. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Did you like this movie, by the way? You loved it, right? So did I. And you know what was amazing? Their voices were really good. I mean, they were not June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash, but I thought they did an amazing job. She did win the Oscar, but he did not, right? Anyway, it ain't me. I'm also mildly addicted to that show Nashville. Do you know that? Where there was a huge bomb that was dropped recently. I won't give it away. No spoiler alert here. But I have been watching. Nashville moved. I don't remember what network it was on. Was it on NBC? It was on ABC. And it now moved to CMT, Country Music Television. And now I'm seeing all the promos of Country Music Television. And I have to say, it's quite excellent. And I just watched the American Masters, which I had taped, of Patsy Cline. Phenomenal. That was fabulous. So I'm getting my country on. So I think we should have some Patsy Cline music. I'm going to. And Dolly Parton, too. I love them. Dolly Parton's a great. Oh, he's rolling his eyes. But I'm serious. Like, Dolly Parton is an amazing songwriter. And she's a legend. And a friend of the show, I'm sure. No, Willie Nelson. I don't like him. And I love that Kacey Musgrave. She's like a younger country person. I love her. Okay, let me get on with this. If you would like to catch up on all of our favorite music, you can go to jillonmoney.com, our website. You can click on the radio link and you will hear some old radio shows, or maybe you missed part of this show, the top of the show, who knows? But anyway, jillonmoney.com. And don't forget to check out our podcast. It's called Better Off. You can get it anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, the iTunes Store, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever. Better Off, that's where we are. That's our other project that we like to do. Okay, here is an email question from Robert, who's got a mortgage question. He owes $30,000 on his primary residence. It's worth about $280,000. He says, I've got $80,000 in liquid savings, no other debt. I have $600,000 in a 401k, another $100,000 in other accounts. And I have about a year and a half left on a 15-year mortgage, but I'm thinking about paying off the balance now. I also have a son who's about a year and a half away from starting college. Any pros or cons for doing so? I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't know what you're planning to. First of all, the mortgage, it really depends on the interest rate. So if you have an interest rate that is cheap, you may want to keep it. You probably don't have any tax benefit from it now because you're into the principal. You know, I don't know how much you have in terms of specifically earmarked to college. But, you know, I don't know. I guess what I would say is this. Your pro about paying it down is, number one, you get that psychic payback from paying down a mortgage, which is fantastic. I remember when my dad made the last mortgage payment, he had accelerated it and he burned the mortgage document in the fireplace. He had a little ceremony. He was so psyched. But then again, I'm sure his mortgage rate was like double digits. So that's the number one. Number two is that you tend to kind of get this piece of your life out of the way, but you also tend to lock in a guaranteed rate of return because the interest rate is probably 3%, maybe it's 4%. I don't know what your rate is. Even if it's really cheap, it's probably better than what you're going to get in your money for the next, say, year and a half. The downside is that, you know, I don't know if you want to burn up your liquidity before you get a sense about the college cost to you. So in my mind, even though you have psychic benefits of paying it off, and even though you have locked in a certain amount of money, it may be worth it not to pay it down until at least you find out what your out-of-pocket is going to be for college. I think that's the general gist here. You know, it's sort of similar to this idea about, should I just pay off my mortgage in retirement? The answer is, I don't usually like that unless you've got tons and tons of money, because I really think people do need liquidity. If you don't need liquidity, Robert, don't worry about it. If you've just, you know, if your kid's going to get a scholarship, then sure, you can go ahead and pay it. But remember, you know, if you've got this, you know, $80,000 in savings and you end up having to spend 50 grand of that on college in the next couple of years, you may not want to pay off the mortgage just yet. So I say let's wait and see about what your total out of cost is, and we'll go from there. All right. Thank you very much for writing. Fantastic. Let's see if I can do another. Oh, brother. Let me just think about this. Matt is writing. He says, I only have 1 minute. Darn it. Okay. Matt is getting married. He's 29. And he wants to know, should he open a Roth IRA after the wedding, but not sure the best moves, a checklist for millennials. Okay, here's your checklist, millennials. You ready? Number one, pay down your debt, including your student loan. Number two, have 6 to 12 months of emergency reserves in the bank, in some boring bank. And number three, max out retirement, whether that's a Roth IRA or use your employer plan up to the match, and do as much as you possibly can. And if you really can wait for to do your house, those things are really more important before you buy a house. Okay, you're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. And you can always send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Got a email from Mark who asked about an inherited IRA and wanted to know what some of the rules are around an IRA that you inherit. And generally, you are required by the IRS to take distributions during your lifetime or within 5 years after the original account holder passed away. And remember, you pay taxes on the distributions that you take. If you inherit a Roth IRA, you have to take a distribution, but you don't have to actually pay tax on it. So that's kind of fabulous, right? The thing that's interesting about IRAs is that it used to be, and you also have to, you, or if the, let me just do a little bit of an or. The other part of it is that when you have an IRA, and if you are the person, you know, a non-spouse beneficiary, right, then what you have to do is, if the person was already taking distributions, then you also have to start taking distributions. And that's an important piece of this. Okay. So if the IRA owner dies after age 70 and a half, you can elect to get the do the minimum required distribution by using your own age. But, you know, what the most important thing is with these pieces is make sure you understand the rules. Talk to the people who hold that IRA account. They can explain to you what the choices are. If it's a traditional IRA, you're going to pay taxes at your tax bracket. Okay? They are so complicated. I know it's a drag. So, and it's also why a lot of planning by the, that, you know, if you hold an IRA and you've got tons and tons of money in that IRA, just remember your kids inherit that IRA. They're going to pull tax. They're going to be required to pull the money out based on their own tax bracket. So if your kids have a higher tax bracket than you, you might as well take the money out, pay your tax bracket, and then leave them the dollars that are left. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for listening to the first hour of the program. We've got a whole nother hour set. Yahoo! 855-411-JILL. It's our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com, and we will be right back.